Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. And we are very pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts. Dan, thanks so much for taking time to join us. Joe Rex Road has been a lifelong fan of yours, and this is a real pleasure to have you on our show here.
Well, Joe's a wise guy, and I appreciate that very much.
Well, yeah. Well, thanks, Dan. It is great to talk to you. So I want to give you the backstory here, because you have been on our air a lot the last few weeks.
Yeah.
We've had texts, calls, tweets. So I'm going to give you the quick backstory. I've sort of argued against Tom Brady is the GOAT, period, for a few years. Like, I think he's one of the greatest of all time. I don't necessarily think that number of rings, I think quarterback wins. I'd like to get your take on all these things, by the way, that wins and rings are a little bit maybe overestimated when we're talking about quarterback evaluation. But as we went through, I said, let's talk about John Elway. Let's talk about Montana Marino.
Yep.
Dan Fouts, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Now, some listeners then said, oh, you said Dan Fouts is better than Tom Brady. And by the way, if you think you are, Dan, I welcome that comment. But regardless, I brought you into the conversation, and so now it's been this running conversation with listeners throwing you back in my face. So anyway, you are one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and I think we need to educate people a little bit about that.
Well, it really comes down to who your favorite is, and it really, in each era, for so long, the guy was Johnny Unitas. But you also had Bart Starr in there, who won 5 NFL titles in a row. And before that, you had Otto Graham. So if you just go back through the history of the NFL, you'll find that in every, maybe a decade or two decades, there's one guy that stands out. And then, in this era right now, it is Tom Brady. But not too long ago, it was Joe Montana. And before that, you can argue about just about anybody. But it boils down to who's your favorite, and then what kind of argument can you build? And when you start building, you start with Super Bowl trophies. And if that's the case, then Brady, I think his numbers will never, ever be touched. But I thought that about Bart Starr winning 5 NFL titles in a row as well.
And Dan, it's interesting. Like, you go back and look at the numbers that you put up, and obviously it's a different era in the NFL, but, I mean, you're talking about 500, 600 passing attempts in a season, doing things that we had never seen before at the NFL level. Do you think the way that you guys ran the offense and the way that you played quarterback helped kind of change the game and transition to what we're seeing today? And that is obviously the passing game, maybe with more importance than we've ever seen it before.
Yeah, no question. And it's on both sides of the ball, because to defend 4 and 5 wide receivers, you got to put in extra defensive backs, and you better have a good pass rusher on the blind side. So defensively, the game has been changed as well. But what Don Coryell did for every coach in the NFL is to show them that you can move the ball, you can win games by throwing the ball. And I think the perfect example of that is once Don Shula got Dan Marino, the Dolphins changed from a power running game, with Zonka and Kick and Mercury Morris, and Bob Greasy as their quarterback. When Greasy threw, 7 passes in the Super Bowl, and now you're throwing Dan Marino in there with the Dupers and the Claytons, and now he's throwing for 5,000 yards. So that example set by Coryell, that you can be effective and win games by throwing the ball, obviously has been adopted by every coach in the league now.
Yeah, Air Coryell was amazing. So to go back on the fandom part of this, Dan, as a young child in Michigan, I would be forced during the 1 o'clock window to watch the Detroit Lions lose to Lynn Dickey and the Packers. And then at 4 o'clock, I'd get Raiders, Chargers, Air Coryell, Dan Fouts throwing to, to Charlie Joyner and Wes Chandler and Ken Alonso was the most, it was by far the most entertaining brand of football being played. You brought up the Dolphins for people of a certain age. I think a lot of people will remember that playoff win you guys had over them, the 81 team, and then you go to Cincinnati. And I've always contended that team, that 1981 Chargers team, should have won it all. Obviously a tough day in Cincinnati. How much of that was Cincinnati's defense Hank Bolla, Dr. Defense, and how much of it was like negative a million temps that day?
Well, let's just say that the Bengals played better than we did, and they handled the conditions better than we did. It was pretty brutal, but it was brutal for both sides. And yeah, my counterpart on the Bengals, Kenny Anderson, he played a great game, and I have to hand it to him, and he got his team to the Super Bowl. So, you know, you play the game, you try to win, regardless of what the conditions were. But if we had played better during the regular season, we would have had the home field advantage in San Diego. And just a side note, the next year we did play the Bengals in San Diego with basically the same cast, and it was a Monday night game, and it was a high-scoring affair where we beat them. I think it was 50-34. So that's really apples to oranges there, because we're talking about two different years and two different climates.
Was that your? Did you think that was your best chance, that 81 team, your best team?
Well, yeah, I think so. You know, especially after beating Miami down there, we felt confident. We had a good week of practice. And that's one thing that people overlook when they say, well, teams from the West Coast have a disadvantage when they travel east late in the year because of the weather. But as far as preparation is concerned, we get our regular practices in because our weather's perfect. So we were prepared for just about anything except perhaps Mother Nature.
Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Dan, you brought up Tom Brady, and to watch what he's doing at his age, 43 years old, he's going to his 10th Super Bowl, an opportunity to win his 7th ring. What do you see when you watch Brady play at his age at 43, and how impressive is it that in his first year he's gotten Tampa Bay to this point?
It is, you know, almost beyond words. You know, you hear all the adjectives for his play, and they're all true. He's just so consistent. He's so economical in the way he plays the game, and he's smart. He knows where to go with the ball before the ball snapped, and he usually has, you know, he's still got, you know, watch him throw the ball over the middle when he's got to squeeze it into a tight space. He still has the power to do that. And that to me is one of the most remarkable things, because, you know, obviously at 43, you're going to start to lose something, and usually it comes off the fastball.
Yeah, and you know, Tom is, of course, well-documented, Dan, you know, kale salads and, you know, sleeping for 14 hours, things like that. How different are things in that way from your time? I know, obviously, we can go back to George Blanda. There's a guy who played forever, but the longevity, especially at this position, but just the emphasis on nutrition and things like that, the extent careers, how different is that from when you played?
Kind of like night and day, really. I mean, the thing about, you know, just not Tom, but all these athletes have their personal trainers and dietitians and chefs and all these things, because they're making, you know, have to afford all that. The one thing a lot of the players from my era have that a guy like Brady or Rodgers or you name it, Breeze, what we have basically now in our lives are bills. These guys will never have bills.
Dan, we talked about Tom Brady, and then you look ahead to the other side of this matchup coming up in the Super Bowl in Patrick Mahomes. And you know, I've watched a lot of quarterbacks play, as I know you have as well. Physically, I mean, Patrick Mahomes can do some things that I'm not quite sure I've ever seen before. What do you see when you watch Mahomes play? And in terms of the quarterbacks that you've seen and just their physical abilities, where does he rank?
Well, I think he's the most unique quarterback. You know, Aaron Rodgers have the ability to throw, you know, the impossible pass off balance. And I think that's what makes Mahomes so unique. The other thing is he's throwing to some guys that are usually pretty wide open because they're so fast. But Mahomes is a superior athlete. And you can tell by the way that, you know, he positions his body to get the ball out of his hands. The thing that, you hear a lot about a lot of these young quarterbacks is that they have baseball backgrounds. You know, Russell Wilson, for one, also very athletic and can throw off balance with just a flick of the wrist. So I think that the baseball background, especially guys that maybe played shortstop or the infield, where they have to throw under pressure without getting set a lot, that's what we're seeing a lot out of Mahomes.
So, Dan, you mentioned Dan Marino earlier. I always thought that you and Dan Marino were similar in skill set. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd like to know your who's the 2020s comp for Dan Fouts in the NFL?
There is none because they're all so much more athletic and more fun to watch. I appreciate the compliment being compared to Marino. I always admired Dan and how he threw the ball and his style and everything. But comparing players, I would never insult anybody in today's game by comparing themselves to me.
You weren't exactly Fran Tarkenton out there.
Well, and he wasn't Dan Fouts, so there.
There you go.
Dan, last thing for you here. As you look at younger quarterbacks around the league now, I mean, it almost seems like teams are giving up on some of them earlier than we've ever seen. I mean, Josh Rosen barely got a sniff in the league. There's already talk in Miami about maybe moving on from Tua at this point after 1 year. What are your advice to these teams and these younger quarterbacks on how to handle maybe quarterbacks not being immediately ready for the NFL when it seems like in today's day and age, having quarterbacks sit is just not the thing to do anymore?
Well, we're so impatient as a society. We want things to be fixed immediately. And usually when a quarterback's drafted number one, it means he's going to a team that doesn't have a quarterback and it's not very good. So there's an adjustment period there and a learning period. It's almost better that, as you said, a quarterback should sit and watch and learn that way. But owners are paying these guys a gazillion dollars. They want to see a return on their investment. The fans are hungry for the redeemer, if you will. And so that's the situation you find yourselves in. It's a tough position. In your 12th year, it's a tough position. In your sixth year, it's tough as a rookie. And there's no other way of putting it. It's you either, sink or swim, but a lot of times the owners and the fans are pushing the guys in the deep end before, they can swim.
Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Dan, we appreciate so much you taking time to join us.
Thanks for having me on, guys, and take care.
Absolutely. Thanks, you as well. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.